Evening, lads.
Evening.
Evening.
Episode 15, Take the 3 Pints. Interesting week, really. So a few announcements in the rugby world. So you've got Jordy Barrett going to Leinster. Oh, I've got straight into rugby.
Bloody hell, what are we doing, Dan? Jesus Christ.
All right, I'll go back to that.
That was like Wales Today, that was. You do like bloody Hugh Edwards. Saying that.
Let's not do it. Hugh Edwards. Sorry,
what's
Hugh.
He doing now?
I don't know. Only anything. Fans. Only fans, probably.
Oh. Yeah, we all go straight into rugby. Yeah. So if you have joined or, you know, logged in, not logged in, if you have press play on the podcast to listen to us talk about rugby, we will, just not yet, so maybe fast forward it 10-15 minutes. Don't fast forward, I'm joking. Listen,
rewind,
yeah. Start again. Can I just say something though? Right, I'm gonna have a little bit of a rant here already.
Oh god,
today is the exception, but I'm so sick of the weather, lads. Like the rain. It just rains all the time. And I know it's not really a new... And I know you hate talking about the weather, by the way, Nate, right?
No, I hate other people talking about the weather. I'm not...
But I am another person.
About... Yeah. Are you... No, I hate the small talk about weather. I feel like you're going to make a valid point here, so I'll let you continue.
Well, it's a bit of pressure. All I was going to say was, I'm just... It's April, it's mid-April, and like yesterday, it was just like, I felt like it was winter, and I'm just sick of it. I generally did a bit of research last night, right? Not for the pod. I generally did a bit of research about moving to Dubai.
Shut up.
Yeah, I'm serious. Safest city in the world, right? Podcast is like number one there.
Yeah.
Hours. And the weather is just beautiful. I'm just sick of the rain. I know you need the rain, right, for plants and crops and whatever, but I'm just sick. I've had enough rain in my lifetime. So that's my rant the weather.
The weather's at the point now where you kind of, you could potentially wear a t-shirt, but you have to take a coat out with you, I think.
Yeah, and a hat.
I've
actually got a woolly hat here, and I would be wearing that if it weren't for my headset.
You could wear shorts with some wellies. Maybe good on luck. A walk, yeah, it's fashionable, but yes, yeah, it's in the middle now, isn't it? I think it's at that point where you have to take a coat with you, which is a bit annoying. But yeah. It wasn't much of a rant that one, Dan. That was more of a sort of pipe dream that you were telling us about then of you moving to Dubai.
Well, yeah, maybe, but anyway,
I get what you mean.
Go on.
I was just going to say, because I tried a couple of days ago, we had hailstones at like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm trying to get the dog out because she's been in all night to the back garden, and she went out, it started hailstone, and she looked at me enough to say fuck that and come back and came back in.
Yeah, my dog hates the rain. It's weird.
So how's
the hailstones?
So we've had a post go out by Rugby Dump, and now you're dreaming of Dubai. Is that what you're trying to say, Dan? You're dreaming of the stars that are lying in you, of a big move to Dubai.
No, mate, I'm just sick of the rain.
Ah, okay.
Simple as that, really. So
I think we need to bring up the Rugby Dump, by the way. It sounds awful, that does, doesn't it, Rugby Dump?
Yeah, it just sounds like you're shitting rugby balls or something. I don't know. That would it.
We're talking shit about rugby anyway.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
we are. Yeah.
But
that's true.
Shall I explain what happened today?
Go on.
So I went on the old Instagram, which we're doing fairly well on, I'd say. We've the main video, I'd say, is the Lewis Rees Samet one. Just over 100,000 views.
Not our most watched.
That is our most watched. So the one below that is about 70,000.
That's George North, right?
That's the George North one.
Right.
So
check him out, everybody. Check him out.
Check him out. At 3 Pints Pod. I don't think we've ever. We want followers on Instagram.
Is it 3 Pints Pod or take the 3 Pints Pod?
At 3 Pints Pod. I just thought it'd be easier.
Definitely, is it? No, it is easier.
And I'll get on to someone that was naming us in the comments on the Rugby Dump post. But I had a message through this morning on the Instagram page from Rugby Dump, a guy called Philip from Rugby Dump. And he said he loved the video and he wanted to do an article on it. I thought, you know, usually these things take a while. He literally sent me a first sort of draft of the article. I changed one or two things, and he posted it within about an hour and a half. So, yeah, give us massive sort of exposure for the pod, I think. You know, sharing it to Rugby Dump that has over 136,000 followers. And we've gained another 20 or 30 followers on Instagram since that post has gone out, by the way, which I haven't told you guys. So,
yeah. They might have gained another 30 followers now from our followers right now.
Well, I don't know. Probably lost followers. Yeah. So I'll check now. It's probably 130,000.
Philip's probably like, oh, stop mentioning me. Stop mentioning me.
Shut up. But I think we do need to address the fact that one of our points on the video and the article is probably wrong. Are we going to address that or not? Because we did
As long as you've got it right now.
Right. So from my understanding, we've done a little bit of research, only a little bit. From my understanding,
much to my
is this a law? Is this a law or a rule?
I don't know, but it's legal. I think I don't know. I don't know whether it's legal. I don't want to go down that road. Fuck. Apparently, Lewis Rees-Samit can't play for the USA unless he has American heritage. That's the biggest thing that I've taken away from it. So it doesn't matter whether he stays there 5 years or 10 years. He can't play for the USA unless he's got a grandparent or a parent, or he was born in
America.
Check
that though, because when some of the comments saying that's not the case anymore.
So the only thing that has been changed is that obviously the difference has changed from 3 to 5 years, but affects more people, like, say, for instance, the Vunipola brothers. So they can play for Tonga if they stop playing for England for 5 years. Do you get what I mean? Because they have heritage in Tonga.
Right, I'm with you.
But Lewis Rees-Samit can't just go to another country. Yeah. So let's bring up another example. I'm trying to think of another player. Ryan Elias. He couldn't go to Chile. Well, I hope he does. But he couldn't go to Chile and stay there 5 years and play for him, essentially.
No, but that's, he wouldn't get in the squad.
He wouldn't get in there. Have him back. But yeah, I think we'll save the point. But the funniest thing is, and I think we were talking about this before the pod, is that we were saying any publicity is good publicity. And a video that we factually got something wrong has had over 100,000 views and has been put up on the Rugby Dump Instagram and on their website. And it's really funny reading some of the comments, because it's a case now where people are naming us those three pints pod lot. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? They're almost like they know about us already before the article's gone out. So I'm happy with it. I'm happy. And I laughed at that today. And I was so close to commenting on it. But I just thought, I'll just let it.
Hypothetically, what would you have said?
Like, just fuck off.
I would have said thanks very much.
What people need to remember is we've never claimed we're doing this as professionally. We're just chatting as if we chat down the pub. And, you know, every pub conversation, someone potentially gets something wrong. And this is all you're doing, guys. You're just listening to us chatting shit down the pub. So if I get something wrong.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I feel like we're like, because I remember, because I used to go to a pub when I was like 13, 14, right? And not everybody had a phone. Not everybody had an iPhone. And if somebody spouted some bullshit about something, rugby or whatever, you couldn't just go, oh, I'm going to Google that.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that has really annoyed me in pubs these days. The amount of times that people go, Google that. And it's like, well, no, you shouldn't.
We've done that, haven't we, Dan?
I know we have. But I remember being out with you two before and saying, don't Google it. But yeah, I think this podcast should have been made about 20 years ago. But saying that, I was only 8. So that would be a bit of a weird podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with your Bob Nog story.
Can we stop talking like that, please? What's rugby? guest.
Hello.
Hi, guys. I'm Mr. Tumbleweed.
I'm lost. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I know what that's about because I have small.
You've got children.
I don't know how Nathan knows about Mr. Tumble.
Yeah, I loved Mr. Tumble when I was younger.
What, he was around when you were young?
Yeah.
Okay. Who did you watch when you were young, Mike? In black and white? No, sorry.
What? I can't remember.
Is that long ago? Who did you listen to on the radio phone before TVs were invented?
TVs were invented. I'm not that old. Although I was born the same year that Channel 4 SBC was put aired.
You were born the same time they created the Welsh language.
Well, the TV channel.
Ah, right. Okay.
The mentality of 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, you lot.
8-year-olds, apparently.
But yeah. So
yeah, it was good, a good mention.
Good,
like you
good
said,
day
yeah.
for the pod, I'd say, boys, to be honest.
And to be clear, so no matter what happens, Louis Rees-Sammet cannot play for America. In fact, I have a better chance of playing for the USA rugby team than Louis Rees-Sammet. That's what we're saying, yeah?
You actually have. How old are you now, Dan?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, okay. You'd probably get in anyway, even if you were in a wheelchair or something. That's how bad they are. But yeah.
But do you know what? If they focus on rugby, it'll never happen, obviously. But if they focused on rugby, say there was no such thing as American football or basketball, they'd wipe the floor with anybody, even the All Blacks, after so much time, not straight away. But like, say, you know, in 20, 30 years, if all the athletes that are in America just played rugby, in 20, 30 years, they would be the greatest rugby. You know, the depth they'd have would be insane.
They've put a lot of effort into sevens rugby, haven't they? So they have.
Yeah, they're a good team of sevens. Perry Baker.
They have the likes of Carlin Isles back in the day as well, where if they didn't make the American 100-meter team or something like that, they'd be put into a program to go into the sevens or another sport. So yeah, that's a really good idea. And we've talked about that as well with like the rugby league and stuff, haven't we, in Wales, if there was pathways for players like that. But not in my lifetime. I don't think in my lifetime you'd see it, because there's not a market for it in America, is it, really?
No,
you,
like
you
I
know,
said,
let's it, be honest. NFL rules, you know?
NFL rules. I mean, they've got Major League Rugby now, which is in it, I think it's, I don't know. Again, I haven't done my research, but I think it's like 4 or 5 years old, Major League Rugby.
Yeah, almost as old as us.
do you know what, right, when I used to live in America, that was when MLS came out, Major League Soccer.
Yeah, LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy, New England Revolution, yeah, my yeah. team. And I used to watch it with my old man, and the funny thing with Major League Soccer at that time was that if it was a tie, you couldn't have a tie. All right. Have you seen YouTube clips of what they used to do?
They used to run
when the penalty
halfway,
shootout. Yeah. Oh, mate, that's amazing. I wish we
really
did
good.
That now.
It's really good.
I wish it's so much. It's a bit more skillful than just taking a penalty, in my opinion.
But if you watch European football, like I'm currently watching the Champions League now in the background, and if this goes to penalty shootout, the players are so fucked. They're too fucked to even take a penalty, let alone run it in from the halfway line. You just see players limp into the penalty box.
Just like collapse halfway and they run it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they'll bring that into football over here, mate, to be honest. But no, it was quite funny, to be fair. I remember Pele tried to make it big there, didn't he? With the New York Cosmos.
That's it,
was
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't really work out. But yeah, it's like the MLS. The one thing I like about the MLS is the kits. And they're all sponsored by Adidas. I love Adidas. They're all sponsored by them. And they have probably maybe 2 or 3 like sort of world stars in each team, and I think they're only allowed a certain amount of players in each team. But yeah, I don't think he'll ever take off rugby over there, to be honest, mate.
The Welsh rugby national team is a bit like that, isn't it?
What's that?
We've
won't take off.
We've only got like 2 or 3 world class players, if that.
Yeah.
Mike, anyway, sorry, we're keeping you silent here. How's your week been?
It's not been too bad. It's actually been a slightly better than normal Mike week. Although some deranged idiot was beeping a horn at me on Saturday.
Yeah, sorry.
As I was walking from Barry to Penarth, actually. So
were you just walking? Yeah. What I mean was, like, were you just going for a walk?
No, doing a bit of training for the 60-mile coastal walk we're doing.
Okay, so you were just walking then? Like you weren't like it wasn't like because your car broke down and you were walking.
We literally were going to walk to Penarth.
Did you get recognised then?
Except from by Dan beeping the horn like a lunatic. And he spotted me.
I don't think it was like a lunatic.
But going to your point about not knowing what to wear, I was braving it because I was in shorts and a t-shirt with a walking hat on.
He looked a bit like Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
A little bit.
With the pasty white legs.
Yeah. Before we died.
Mike was walking his stingray. Oh.
Anyway. Speaking of Down Under, Nath, what have you been up to?
Oh, mate. Well, I did briefly say before the pod, but I went on a date last night. Another one. I know. But it was a good date, but it ended really awkwardly. Really awkwardly. I didn't get my dick out.
No, I was going to say, did she?
No, I didn't. I didn't, like, start the car up and then just slowly turn 3 pints pot on, just slowly turning the volume up. Do you recognise that voice?
I thought she was going to tell you, you know, it's not 3-year residency anymore.
You're dumped.
I went, get out. Yeah. But no, we drove down to Ogmore, and I didn't know they had barriers and bollards there. So after 10 o'clock, these pollards come up.
You're driving to Ogmore at 10 o'clock.
I don't know, just the bit
of
scenery.
That's dodgy on its own. See, mate.
That's why they've got the bollards.
It's dark at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
it's really dark now. It's like 9
I looked around and there was like nobody about. And I thought, this is a bit... I thought at the start, this is romantic.
Yeah, there's a reason.
No, I thought this was romantic at the start. I thought, oh, this is nice. Just me and you.
Is this your first date?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, she's brave.
Don't you know me? I'm bowling on the first date.
Oh, I tapped her up a bit, took her to Starbucks, went to Puff Call, and then we went there, right? So it wasn't just... I didn't just pick her up and go straight to Ogmore at 10 o'clock. Jeremy. So anyway, it's like it's weirdly quiet here, but this is quite nice. Do you know what I mean? So anyway, I thought, right, it's getting close to 11 o'clock. I thought I'll drive up. And the bollards were up and the barriers were down. So I thought, this ain't right. So I started clicking this button. It said click number one, then call. And it did fuck all, right? Rhymed. So I start clicking all the buttons and I start panicking at this stage. Because I'm like, there's no other way out of here. We might be stuck here till 7 a.m. in the morning. So it gets to half hour in and I'm like, this is really bad. This is looking really bad. We calls the police, right? And don't have a go at me for wasting police time because this was a situation that I didn't know how to get out of it. As we're calling the police, I'm just like, I am literally like a 6-year-old just clicking the buttons like this. Anything. 1, 2. I can just try anything. And I click 1. Clear, and it went dee doo dee doo, barriers opening like that, and then the girl was on the floor like, oh sorry, we're out now, and like typical Welsh, she just went, oh, have a good night, like that. Fucking hell. Do you know what I mean? And it was the happiest I've ever felt leaving a date, right? And that sounds awful on her, but yeah, I'm lucky to be alive, lads. I'm lucky to be alive.
Bit dramatic, well, but that is quite funny.
Mate, it was, when you're there for half hour, it seems like 6 hours, I'm telling you. Yeah. But yeah, got out of their life. Fucking Ogmore Council, answer your fucking phone.
Jesus. They're too busy listening to the
pub. I know.
So you're going to see her again, or was that a bit awkward?
Maybe. I think that brought us closer together, I think.
Literally.
Yeah. It's cold. Let me turn the engine off. But yeah, apart from that, good week. I made some protein pancakes today. They were quite nice, but the first batch, I forgot to put self-raising flour in. What a fucking idiot. They were shit, the first couple. And I put some self-raising flour in. It was lovely. And yeah, as I was saying to you before the pod, it's probably the most rugby I've ever watched as well. The weekend just gone. Unbelievable. Yeah. Absolutely unbelievable.
What game was your highlight?
Well, obviously the Harlequins game was the highlight. Do we mention the Ospreys? Because it was a bit of a damp squib, that game, wasn't it? I think. Did any of you guys watch it?
I did. The thing about that game, right, is although I agree it was a damp squib, and although it's disappointing the Ospreys lost, there's 2 points that I'd like to make. Now you started me off. The first one is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And what I mean by that is the set piece for the Ospreys really let them down. Yeah. And it's the same with the national team in the Six Nations. The line out and the scrum cost them points, cost them penalties, or made them commit penalties. And that's where the game was lost, essentially.
It's very uncharacteristic of Sam Parry, though, because he's usually really solid, you know. And there was a point where he didn't even throw the ball in. Adam Beard jumps up and he just goes, and then the ref pins him for a free kick for not throwing the ball in. It was just stuff like that that really pissed me off. Like, I think Gareth Thomas is probably in his worst run of form as a player of the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't know what sort of happened to him. Porter, I thought on his side of the scrum, did all right. There was just moments like, look, Ospreys, you know, they play decent rugby in patches, but they don't do it for a full 80. And they'll always sort of stick around in a game. They'll always, you know, they'll never sort of go away. Even if it's like 8 or 9 points in it, they'll still stick in the game. But Gloucester is second from bottom in the Prem, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that says about Welsh rugby. And going back to what I said last week, I don't want to harp on about what I said last week, but I said Ospreys from 10 years ago, for them to be seventh and in a quarter final of the Challenge Cup, they wouldn't be celebrating that, you know.
Yeah,
that would be a poor season for the Ospreys. Whereas you look at them now, it's like, oh God. So they're out with the Challenge Cup. They're not going to do anything in the URC. The most they'll do is get to the playoffs, and hopefully get into the European Cup next season. But that's about it. And that's just a sad indictment on Welsh rugby. But yeah, let's not get too depressed early on here.
Well, you know, on a brighter note, Morgan Morse came on and he looked good, you know.
And he's signed a new deal now as well with the Ospreys.
He did.
I'd love for him to go to Australia. And I think closer to the tour, we'll have a better idea of what sort of players they're going to take. But I think he's if we're going to nurture these young players, he's one of the first players I take in terms of nurturing those players. Him and Dan Edwards, which I thought...
I was going to say, would you take Dan Edwards?
They brought him on with 5 minutes left. Owen Williams is a really weird player. I don't know how tall he is, but he looks like a bit of a unit for a fly-off. Owen Williams does. But he just can't tackle. Like, the amount of times they ran into him and they sort of thought, God, we're making yardage every time we're going into this guy.
I'm not convinced by his kicking was a bit off kicking either.
As well, yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, that's probably why he wasn't, you know, picked by Wales. And I mean, I know he's added injury worries as well. But yeah, just like, I'll just bring Dan Edwards on for the last 15 or 20, you know. But yeah, disappointing from the Ospreys. Mike, did you watch it?
I didn't, if I'm going to be honest. My weekend sort of went away from me and I didn't really watch a huge amount of sport.
Yeah. But I was going to say, because the same happened with Jared, because Jared came on in one of the greatest European Cup matches of all time. Bordeaux 41, Harlequins 42. And the day previous, and we talked again about this last week, the Waratahs played Crusaders, didn't they, the day before?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if any of you watched that, but it was a really poor game. There wasn't much of an atmosphere. The defences were shit. And it ended up 40-all. Dramatic ending, but the game just wasn't really there. There was just a lot of poor mistakes for the tries. Mike, you had a hand up then.
Yeah, because I'm getting I'm getting straight in there before we get fact checked. I've got the Waratahs beat them 143-40.
Yeah, I know, but they drew 40 all, and then it went to extra time.
I know, but just clarifying that in case someone kicks off at us and goes, "Oh, it wasn't. You'd still done away."
The Aussies are after us now. Fucking hell! Get your fix right, mate. Fucking hell, mate.
It's out now when you think about rugby, mate.
Well, we don't, but you know.
Yeah, we don't.
Let's just try and pretend that we do.
Let's just struggle through this.
Second point, sorry, was the first point was the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Sorry, Dan.
It's all right. No, it's fine. The second point was, despite the game being a bit of a damp squid, I thought the atmosphere sounded good. Mm. And I also think, and we've touched upon it before, but Cardiff played, who did they play just a couple of weeks ago from wasn't Sale, was it? No, Ospreys played Sale the week before. What am I on about? And that's obviously who they beat to play Gloucester. The atmosphere in Anglo-Welsh games is so much better. And I really think that we need to push for an Anglo-Welsh league. I say we, like we're in charge. But I do really think that a possible saviour financially and just, you know, attracting, you know, kids and people to the game of rugby is having a Welsh-English league.
But I can see how that benefits us. I don't know how that benefits England, if I'm honest with you. Because they've got their structure there and it's worked for... How long has that Premiership been around? That's been over 20 plus years, haven't it? You know, and it's worked for them.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about the Premiership, apart from Saracens, I think, who won a couple in a row, you get in a different winner virtually every other season. And that's what I love about it.
No, that is good.
And you don't really, I say you don't see that with the URC. We've seen Munster win it. We've seen one of the South African sides won it as well.
Yeah.
Stormers won it, I think. So you kind of get in the URC, but you kind of know at the end of the season who's going to be, you know, in those finals. I don't think you can probably say that about, because look, Harlequins aren't really, and I'm going back to the Harlequins game here, sort of the point that I was trying to make about the sort of Crusaders Waratahs game. The Harlequins aren't like a massively good team. They've conceded a lot of points this season. They got battered by Saracens at the Tottenham Stadium a few weeks back. By like 40 or 50 points.
Domination.
And this is what I didn't get, because Bordeaux did the same to Saracens. Bordeaux put like 40 or 50 points on Saracens. Yeah. So I thought Harlequins going out to Bordeaux, that's like the hardest place in European rugby to go for the atmosphere there. And they just fought fire with fire, just like straight out of the blocks. They knew their identity of how they wanted to play. And it was a complete polar opposite game to that Crusaders Waratahs game. Just the standard of rugby through the whole 80 minutes was just fantastic. And like Dylan Lewis come on, the scrum was going really well. And when he came on, I thought, oh shit, you know, I don't know how this is going to go now, but he held his own. And then obviously Jared Evans come on the last 5 minutes of the game for Marcus Smith, who was absolutely unbelievable. But if you get the chance, anybody watching this or listening to this, or you guys as well, just watch the highlights, because it is an absolute treat from start to finish to watch that. And I've got a real soft spot for Harlequins. And you just look at the structure of English rugby. They don't need Welsh regions in that league. They don't. We need it so much more. And we need it because it would make us competitive weekly. And it would force the regions into... And we do see it. I remember one season not long ago when Jamie Roberts and Sam Warburton played more games for Wales in a season than they did for the Cardiff Blues. And sorry, that's wrong, because the club rugby's your bread and butter. And it's just not that at the moment in Wales. And I'm not going to go on about getting rid of one of the regions, because we've already discussed that. But Graham Henry's already said, we got for the player pool in Wales, to spread the talent. We haven't got enough talent in Wales to spread across four regions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've barely got enough for three, you know. So, we'll watch this space.
You said we've said it before, but I think two is probably the optimum amount, really, you know.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. It would definitely benefit the Welsh clubs more than the English. But I just think from like, I don't know, like an atmosphere point of view, I think it would sell more tickets. Again, well, I think it would sell more tickets in England as well, but certainly in Wales, I think you'd have bigger attendances at games. So I don't know, but I guess that's what makes European rugby so good. It's those rare occasions where you are playing, you know, the old enemy from across the bridge. So
yeah. Mike's been quiet.
Yeah, he hasn't got a word in. To be fair,
I just listening to you.
He's sure biting his tongue every time we bring up the WRU. He's biting his tongue.
We know his stance on it.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Can I just go back to you know, this, we were talking about Louis Rees-Sammet earlier. Right.
God. I thought we'd done that.
No, sorry. I just wanted to ask, right, if you guys could be any other nationality, what would you be? And don't say, I've already hit the jackpot in life, I'm Welsh. Hypothetically, if there was one other nationality, I know.
Nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever fucking said that.
No, I thought about this a couple of weeks ago, which other nationality. And I have to say Italian, because I love Italian food.
Yeah, meat.
I love the sort of, where especially growing up, sort of Italian football. The rugby team's not doing too badly, and I could support Ferrari as a Formula One team.
That's a good shout. Beautiful country, beautiful women, beautiful food. So, and have you been to Italy, Mike?
I've not been to Italy. I've been to a lot of places around the Med. Like, I've been over to Malta and that as well, and their cuisine is quite heavily influenced.
Mm.
Sort of the same. So
turned into a food podcast.
You'll get me on Great British Menu next.
And next week we've got Nigella coming on.
Oh, I love a bit of Nigella.
Yeah. Did your missus listen to this?
Nah.
Oh. Go on, keep going then.
So I was quite quick with the answer. Sorry, Dan, it didn't need much thinking for me.
No, it's all right. You know, it's fine. I think it, you know, Italy is a good shout. In fact, I haven't even thought of mine really, but I probably will be a bit boring if I use Italy as well. So maybe I'll choose a different country, but just for argument's sake. But Italy is a great shout. Yeah. What about you, Nate?
I was thinking about this as you were saying it, and I'd probably say Icelandic, because there's a good chance that you play for their football team.
No, not There's, even you would play for their football team.
Mate, I'd become the manager then. I'd have my own podcast and I'd become the manager. No, this
what
like
would,
a,
what
like,
would your podcast be called?
Yeah.
Just Iceland for the shop. Just something to do with that. And I'll have Kerry Katona on each week or something, and she'd like try and do what we do and talk about sport but not actually know anything. But yeah, there's like one in 90 people or something, in every 90 people has a chance to play for the national football team, which is mental. The only thing that would piss me off a bit is just how dark it is almost all year round.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So,
That wouldn't matter to you, though. You'd go to the beach in the dark anyway, mate.
Yeah. Could they have four bollards out there? Or cars?
Yeah. Yeah, the cars, yeah. Ice
Flintstone
cars.
Yeah.
What
about you?
Okay. I don't know, because... Well, like I said, if Mike hadn't said Italy, I probably would have said Italy. But just for argument's sake, I can't even answer my own
question. Like he's on a quiz. I know. Do you need help with your countries?
No,
he's
got, my
he's
countries.
Got the questions to the quiz. We haven't got the answers.
Japan?
I was thinking Japan. Whereas whether you like Japanese food or not. That's the only thing that would do it for me.
Yeah.
And aren't you only allowed two kids out there? Or is that China?
That's China, isn't it?
Ah. What do they do if you have more than two kids in China?
Back to the rugby.
Come on. This is a serious question. What do they actually do?
I don't know. Maybe people can let us know.
Like, do they kill the parents or the kids?
I don't know, mate.
It's obviously illegal, isn't it?
No one knows. I don't know if they can script them. And I think they sell them to people who can't
on
have
Amazon.
Kids.
Free shipping.
Made in China. I don't know. Anyway, my reasoning for Japan was just because I don't know, really. They're not a massive sporting nation, but they're very tech savvy. very tech savvy. I probably wouldn't be Japan, actually. They're a bit boring.
Can I just check us quickly on something that Nate said? And apparently, I've done what he hates. I've Googled from the pub.
No.
And actually, they changed their one child policy in 2015, so you can have two children now.
Yeah, but what happens if you have more than two?
What if you have more than two?
But in 2021, all married couples are permitted to have as many as three children. Dan,
Patrick.
Would you want more than three children? Because you've got two youngsters.
I don't want more kids. No, I love my two, but I don't want any more because it's stressful. So, yeah. I sort of want to be a bit controversial and say, this is nothing to do with my kids, by the way. This is going back to the question. Like, would I want to be like Australian?
I was thinking this because I've always wanted to go
good climate.
To Australia.
They love their sports. They love their beer. You know, they're quite like, you know, just chilled out, like laid back. It's a beautiful country from what I've seen. I'm not one of these people who always has to move to Australia, though. I always find with British people, they're always like, oh, yeah, I want to move to Australia or whatever. I don't get the appeal that much. But then, I don't know, maybe I'm contradicting myself. I just sort of think it would be, if you were born Australian, you know, pretty good cricket team, good rugby league team, used to have a good rugby union team. And yeah, it's just, I don't think it rains as much. And as we've come to find out, I'm not a big fan of the rain. So maybe Australian, I don't know. I wish I had answered first because I would have said Italy.
Are you deliberately saying Australia so we can like slalom into the summer tour now, Dan?
No. Well, so if Wales lose the if Wales lose the tour to Australia, I can turn up and be like, my team won.
Why not play rugby, mate?
Yeah.
I was gonna try and bring something up. A guy that would almost always end up on Welsh summer tours is announced his retirement this week. Do you know what I'm on about?
Turnbull?
Josh Turnbull.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Josh Turnbull? You two being Cardiff fans. I thought he'd played more games for the Scarlets than Cardiff Blues or Cardiff. Because he was at the Scarlets for years, but he's played like at least 85 more games for Cardiff.
No, he's like a stalwart, if that's the word for Cardiff. Like I would say he bleeds blue and black. I would.
Shit, no.
Yeah, I would.
No, I would. Come on.
Yeah, no, I would.
He actually bleeds yellow, red and black because of Carmarthen. But we're not going to get onto Carmarthen.
No, not going to get onto Carmarthen again. Just sounds like a colouring book.
It does. Or German.
He's definitely not German.
It's really funny, right?
That's one nationality I wouldn't want to be. No offense.
Do you know when like you get the sides that put on like Twitter and they put like updates on scores and stuff? When Ponty went to Carmarthen, I checked some of the updates after the game because there was a red card and we didn't know what it was about. And they put for Carmarthen the German flag. I was a bit like, it's a bit dangerous. Fucking hell.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh Turnbull. Is he a legend of Welsh rugby?
No.
No?
No offence, no.
Not even a legend of regional rugby? For...
Well, yeah, but that's not... That's different.
Yeah, but I think for what he's done for the game, I think, you know, I think he's won... He won the Challenge Cup. Did he lift the Challenge Cup when he was... with Cardiff a few years back and when they beat Gloucester. I think he's been a fantastic player. Every time he ever played for Wales, he never let him down, ever. Mm. I remember him, 2014, we went to South Africa. Do you remember when...
is this when we were winning up until the last minute?
And Liam Williams put a cheap shot on. And he played second row that game, Josh Turnbull did, and he was unbelievable. And he looked like a South African the way he was built as a second row. Because he's always been fairly big back rower, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But I think for what he's done for the Scarlets, you know, when he left the Scarlets, it was a big loss for them. I thought he was part of the fantastic Scarlets side, where they'd have like Shingler in the back row as well. I thought they were fantastic. And then he sort of develops his career further with Cardiff. I remember interviewing him a few years ago. And if you're... this is going to bring back memories for you now. Remember the Rainbow Cup?
Oh,
Gav used to love that one, didn't
he? Yeah, I swear
Gav was the only one that knew about the Rainbow Cup.
I think so.
But the Rainbow Cup was just like, it was just out of lockdown, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
And they were just trying new things. And one of the things they tried was the Captain's Challenge. Now, that's sort of have gone away now, haven't it?
Like, was his Mike, hands what are you doing head. That?
He wants a Captain's Challenge now. but yeah, I remember he told a story. There was a game between Dragons and Cardiff. And... somebody did a captain's challenge on Josh Turnbull, putting a high hit on somebody, and somebody called him a snitch for fessing up. I thought that was fucking brilliant, and I think that's something that they should bring back. I think because they're on about this red card law now that they're changing.
The 20-minute one.
20-minute one. Is it a 20-minute one where another player needs to come back on?
Another player comes on, yeah.
Okay. But how does that work then? Because if you have a hooker that gets red-carded, so what happens there? You just get another hooker on?
You bring on another hooker after 20 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest with you. I really don't.
I think if you've got a red card, you're off. There's tweaking, there's laws, and then there's just going... stupid. The yellow card is the warning card. If you've done something that's really dangerous, it deserves a red card. You know, the ref has to implement the laws, and the players have to take responsibility for that. They know what they can and can't do, and yes, it's in the heat of the moment. I can just about live with the bunker review, because it's being looked at and it's being watched whilst the 10-minute sin bin's going on, but not a 20-minute red card. I think it's just going to become farcical. And what's that? You probably know a bit more about this than I do, Nath. But what's that stupid rule? I remember what law. See, I've always said because this is how stupid it is. It happened to Italy a few years ago in the Six Nations where they had one of the speciality players red carded, and then they had to play the rest of the game.
That
with
was
13
that,
players.
That was against Ireland, wasn't it? I think they did it against Ireland. It was within
like the first 5 minutes of the game, and you're like, there's no point in watching it anymore.
Yeah, and it completely ruined the game.
I don't know the ins and outs of that one. So
isn't it something like, it wasn't like somebody injured earlier on, the prop got injured, but then another prop got red carded or something like that, so there was no speciality player to come on for that position.
So they had to
play with 13 and then have passive scrums, which you're watching a different game then, isn't you? You're not watching rugby. That's not even rugby league. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a joke. I think we're constantly talking about change of laws every fucking year with rugby, and it really pisses me off. Just fucking leave the game alone. I know sometimes you need to change things because obviously players are getting bigger now and so on. But I don't know, like the biggest one for me is when a player has got the ball and they go in head high and they hit heads with the opposition player and they give a red card for that now because it's head on head. And it's like, it's almost like World Rugby has been found out in that and they've gone now to, is there force in it? And it's like, you have to have force in it to be, you know, high degree of danger. And they bring all these fancy words into it. And they're just overcomplicating everything for the referee. And I'm not defending the referees here, but they've got enough to bloody deal with on the on the pitch, let alone having to fucking figure out all these different sort of terminologies of hitting someone in the head. What is a high degree of danger? You know, what is force? You know, because these guys are running at each other full pelt and how many miles an hour? It is like getting hit by a car crash. It's getting hit by a car crash if you go low on somebody, let alone going high. So, yeah, it's all talk,
mate. Also, talking about the laws, well, I was watching a little bit of the Women's Six Nations, and in the England game, one of the English players, Keller, I think it was, lifted one of the Scottish players past the horizontal in a tackle. But because the Scottish player's sort of natural reaction was to put her hand down to break the fall, it was then deemed it wasn't a high degree of danger. Whereas if she had left her hand by her side, she would have face planted and that would have been a red card.
So if she broke her neck, it would have been a red card, essentially.
Well, not just, it definitely would have been there. But just because she's braced herself by putting her hand down, they've gone, there's not the degree of danger in that now.
But the intent was still there, I suppose.
Well, that's what I think.
Going back to your point though, Nate, sorry, just, I've said before, I do think that we should have a captain's challenge. I know people would be like,
for the podcast.
I know people would say, it breaks up the game or slows the game down even more. But I just think we said before about Sam Warburton speaking to the ref, didn't we, at the end of that Lions game, the third test against the Lions in 2017. And I know that wasn't an official captain's challenge because that wasn't a law then. What's our law now? But you know what I mean. But I just think it would be interesting if, like, so in American football, you can have up to two challenges a game. The coach is the one who challenges. But if you lose a challenge, then you, in American football, you don't get another challenge, right? If you win the challenge, then you have the right to challenge again in the same game, if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you have to make sure, though, that you can't just challenge for... You have to be pretty confident that you're going to win the challenge, because the risk is that you won't have another challenge later in the game. But I just think, up to a certain amount of phases, I don't know, you know, if it's 5 phases or 10 phases or whatever, you know, you have the right, or the captain has the right to challenge, you know, if he thinks it was a forward pass or, an offside or high tackle or whatever, you know.
The biggest law that needs to be changed is the advantage law. I think that's the biggest one that I'd say about anything, because I watched, I don't know what game it was. It might have been, I think it was the Leinster-La Rochelle game. I watched that on the weekend, and Leinster do get a lot of decisions go their way when they play at home. It is mental. But there was a penalty advantage in their own half towards the left-hand touchline, just outside the 22. The ball travelled across the pitch to the right winger on the right-hand side. He got up to their 22 on the right-hand side, made a break, chipped over the top. Because the ball went into touch, they came all the way back for the penalty advantage. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sorry, like, what are you calling an advantage? Is there an actual law where it states what an advantage is? Or does it just tell
Google
you
it.
What the referee... I'm not going to... Okay. Do we just make it up? But yeah, I think there's got to be, I think there needs to be a time on there, I think, for a start, because I think if you put a time on the advantage, it makes, because if you notice, and Wales never do this, but New Zealand are the best in world rugby at it, as soon as the referee puts his arm out for an advantage and they are 30 metres out from the try line, the ball will go straight to the fly half. and he's either cross kicking it or doing something off the cuff. It is amazing.
But they're running it, aren't they? They're not going through the phases with the forwards. They're running.
So if you go advantage, the video ref, it's not as if the video ref, like that's what I used to do, is go, right, there you go, click a button, 30 seconds from now, it'll pop up on the screen and you have 30 seconds to do something with the ball, otherwise you lose advantage. But that's the way I would rather it go, if I'm honest.
Can I just follow up with two things from there, Nath? The first one is, for knock-on advantage, it's quite clear, the minute you put boot to ball, that's advantage over.
Yeah.
Every single, and we know where we stand with that one. Like, I would say 100% of the time. But
that's usually only if it's in your own half, though, isn't it?
No, any knock-on advantage, the minute you put boot to ball, as long as it stays in field, they normally say advantage over it any time on that. But the one that really, really pisses me off more than anything is advantage when you're attacking in the red zone or the 22 on there. Because you could be in there for 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Just recycling the ball and it's advantage. And because you're under pressure of that, there's normally a second advantage given in there. So do you think they should say, right, you've got the advantage, you've got 8 or maybe 10 plays. If you don't score, you come automatically back for the penalty. Because you're not just taking up the phase play, but you're also taking the time up on the clock. And if I'm a team that, as long as I'm recycling the ball and I'm keeping going, as long as I'm looking like I'm attacking, the ref's not going to call advantage over. So I'm either going to score a try for the advantage to be over, or we're going to be called back anyway. And I've seen teams doing it against Wales as well, where they've been playing 6 or 7 minutes worth of advantage. And you're like, it's going to be a score. We know what's going to happen. And when you say 7 minutes, that's almost 10% of the rugby game. Time of ball in play, you're probably saying that's over 10% of the game is being played under advantage, which is hamstringing one of the teams. So, you know, they've foul played to put themselves in that situation. But I just think they need to either put a time limit on, like you said, Nath, or say, right, you've got 8 or 10 plays, you don't score, you go back for the penalty.
Well, the biggest example of what you said there, Mike, was that Wales France game from 2017. The 100-minute game.
Is that where we had a sin bin and they still came back on?
And he still came back on after 80 minutes. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. That should never happen, ever. Like, come on. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, according to Google, sorry, Nate, advantage is the period of time after an infringement in which the non-offending side have the opportunity to gain sufficient territory or tactical opportunity to negate the need to stop the game due to the infringement. The referee will say...
But, well, hang on, Google, what's a period of time then? What is a period of time? Because that's so vague. A period of time. Like, what was it? A period of time can be half hour, can't it? Do you know what I mean?
We need to get Nige on you.
I reckon we could get Nige on.
A length of time.
Length of time, period of time, all the same.
Period may designate an extent of time of any length.
Yeah, of any length. So it's clear as mud, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
mental. We do. Yeah. There you go.
So if they want to tweak any laws, they should tweak the advantage law.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I would say. Tweak the advantage.
Yeah.
But I think we lose listeners when we start talking about refs all the time, to be fair. I was going to say, we talk about women's rugby. Did any of you watch the Wales women's? Because
that's a
terrible result. That's an awful result.
But we beat Ireland and Scotland last year.
I know, but Ireland are one of the worst nations. They're one of the worst nations in that. And
we didn't just lose. Didn't we get battered as
well?
They
got battered. It was like 36-5 at one point. I don't know what happened. I watched some of the, because this was a really good move at the start of the week. So the Welsh women were training down in Swansea and they did a full-on contact session, believe it or not, with the men's Swansea University team. They did a contact session with them. So they were trying to do something unique, you know, trying to do something a bit different. It didn't pay off, obviously. But yeah, to get battered by Ireland like that, that's really poor. And I think Wales women at this moment in time, again, you've got to treat them like the men. You've got to look at the coaching, I think. You've got to look at the coaching. What went wrong? You know, what went wrong for them? I thought, you know, they lost to Scotland. Their tournament is kind of going the way Wales's men's gone.
I was going to say,
really.
Yeah.
Apart from the battering in England. They give England a game for about half hour. But they come close against Scotland, lost to England, and they got battered by Ireland. So they're probably going to get battered by France now, to be honest with you. But it doesn't look good for the Welsh women, if I'm honest. But look,
double are you again?
I don't know how I'd feel like playing against women in rugby.
I think if it's national, you'd have to treat it like, because they're professional. They're more professional than the Swansea University boys.
I know, but it's just a funny sport, isn't it? When you know. Like, you know, when you're in rucks and stuff like that, grabbing things. I don't know. I'd just be too scared. I'd be, like, accused of assault or something.
Do women have things? I thought those blokes that had things. That's what I used to call them. You know that thingamajig?
Yeah. Talupe Faletau is coming back. Let's quickly move on. He's finally announced he's coming back. I don't know if he's going to play next week against Edinburgh, but he has. He's apparently fit to play again, so he might be back. So that's great.
Yeah, but again, like we've said about Morgan Morse, like we have Aaron Wainwright, who had a good Six Nations. Is there a place for Faletau really on this tour? Do you say to Faletau, you're at a stage in your career now where, look, you come back for Cardiff, you're going to miss this summer tour, get some training into you, go back to Cardiff throughout the summer now, get some training into you, play a few pre-season games, and have a full-on pre-season with Cardiff. I think that's what he probably needs, I'd say.
Then come back in the Autumn Internationals, maybe.
Come back ready for the Autumn Internationals, because he's not going to have many of them Autumn Internationals left. How come we don't know who the fuck we're playing yet in the Autumn Internationals? I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's strange.
Usually by now, the tickets, not the tickets are not out, but you know who we
kind
of
you know the
playing,
fixtures.
You can sort of build up to it, you know?
Yeah, because they've announced England's, they've announced Ireland's. So England have got New Zealand, they've got... I'm trying to have a think. I might have to Google it, but so
doing a lot of Googling on this one.
I know.
Going on.
So England have got New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and Japan. Ireland have got New Zealand, Argentina, Fiji, and Australia.
Okay.
Scotland have got Fiji, South Africa, Portugal, and Australia.
And Tobago.
Wales, no one yet.
No one.
That's crazy, isn't it?
But do you know what? With TNT Sports now taking the Autumn Internationals, they will put a pressure on the WRU because, as we all know, the TVs, the TV
companies.
Yeah,
they rule the roost, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they'll say, right, we got England on the Saturday at 2:00. We've got a space open at 5, between 5 and 7. You're playing at that time. It wouldn't be the WRU saying we're kicking off at this time. It would be the other way around. Because, look, we need the fucking money at the end of the day. And Mike's going to be right. It'll be one game outside the international window. And it'll probably be Australia. And we'll lose again to a really shitty Australia team. And, yeah, we need to sort this shit out soon.
If it's going to be, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't want to play New Zealand at the moment. It would just be demeaning. But I think if we can play, we might play South. I'm not that playing South Africa wouldn't be demeaning, but it's probably a different style of rugby they play. They'll just batter us physical, you know, whereas New Zealand would just run it from everywhere against us. But I think maybe we'll play South Africa and Australia. Maybe we might then play like Georgia. That's the reality. We might play Georgia. Maybe Fiji. Yeah, maybe.
But do you know what? I don't fear South Africa being Wales. It's really weird because they're double world champions. But I feel like Wales have got the game to sort of negate what they want
really?
To do. Yeah,
nah.
Oh, it's been proven. No, it's been proven.
Well, no, it hasn't.
It last, has been proven.
Last yeah, August, they, when, last they, August, well, apart from that, ripped apart by
him. Who remembers World Cup warm-up games, mate? Apart from the wins over England, to be fair. but like, nobody's gonna remember that. Like, this go back to the 3-test tour. Let's go back to the autumn before where that fucking drunk dickhead stopped us from scoring.
Yeah, I don't think he stopped us from scoring.
Oh, come on.
I think he did.
Because if you think about it, you see someone out of the corner of your eye, you just stopped, and then the pass was then behind them, wasn't it?
So maybe.
So
I was at that game as well.
Yeah. And we could have won that. It was you, wasn't it?
I was at that game till I got kicked out.
It'd be funny if you said earlier that you wanted to be a South African. You were defending the line. No,
definitely defending a South African.
Yeah, no. But yeah. I was going to say something. I'm not going to.
I don't know what you're going to say. I don't want
to be a North African either. But yeah, look, if you look at our record against South Africa down the years, we went through a stage where we beat them sort of 4 times in a row, something like that. And I know South Africa were rebuilding. But even like in the World Cup, the semi-final, should we have won that World Cup semi-final in 2019 against them? You know, there was chances there for us to win that
chances,
game.
Chances, and there's a lot of 50-50s that could have gone our way and went their way.
I just think when we've had our full team out and they've had their full team out, I think it's been very evenly matched. And it's kind of been sort of similar. Nobody will remember that game we played them out in Washington. Do you remember we played them out in Washington?
Yeah, we beat them there.
We beat them, Ryan Elias scoring, winning try. Yeah.
Do you know what? God. Do you know who I think we could play this autumn? It'd be quite tasty, would be Argentina, because obviously they knocked us out of the World Cup.
They've got our number.
Yeah.
They have, because they also had a 2-game tour over here, didn't they, where they drew and beat us.
And beat us, yeah.
They drew with us when they had 14 men. They had a red card, didn't they, I think?
Yeah.
So
we did beat them 2 years ago, mind. Thomas Williams did that charge.
Oh, that was a rubbish game, wasn't it?
Oh, it was awful. And that was the only game we won. That was the same autumn series we lost to Georgia. That was Pivac's last stand. That was his last win.
Bring back Pivac.
Yeah, we needed someone who's going to help us beat Argentina. But yeah, so it is interesting. We don't know our autumn internationals. Maybe, you know, by the next pod we'll know. But there we go.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Anyway, lads, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll bring the pod to the close for this week. But Mike, you look like you got some final thoughts.
No.
Oh.
I'm just already trying to think of a name for the pod because you know.
Oh yeah. Oh, not that.
Are we gonna do that? Are we gonna do that recorded or are we not going?
I think North Africa.
No. Is he frozen now on purpose, or is he generally frozen?
Because I
he's definitely fitting on. He's now messing around.
He's pretending to be frozen. Would have been if he spent much longer on the beach.
Yeah.
10 o'clock in the evening.
I don't know what name for the pod.
Are we going to do that off air? Or are we going to do that once we're not recording?
We'll do it now, but if we can't think of one in the next minute or so, we'll have to take it off air.
Because I've got one.
Go on.
Almost for Nathan, sex on the beach.
Fucking hell.
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
Fuck off Ogmore Council.
Oh, bollards.
I got it. Oh, this is amazing, right?
What?
Henry Ballard.
Who's Henry? Oh, fuck. Henry Ballard. Oh, fucking hell.
Fuck off. Henry Ballard, then.
Fuck's sake. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, that's actually quite good.
Yeah, Henry Ballard.
Andre Ballard.
Oh, all right, yeah.
Who's fucking...
That's the way he says it.
Should we go with that?
I'm happy with that.
Well, that hasn't taken us.
Do you know all our names?
I feel like when there's pressure on us,
the better.
We actually do quite well.
Yeah,
but I do want one pod to be George and the Catholics. we need to fit that in somewhere.
Okay, all right. So Andre Ballard.
Andre Ballard. Yeah.
Right. Thanks everybody for listening. Please hit subscribe, hit like, share, and take care.
Cheers, guys.
Do some outro music.